Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I mentioned earlier that I was going to talk about my challenges with the calendar during the sermon. And I'm going to take a digression before I get to the calendar problems. Last week, I was in Cleveland, which is a nice city, and that's where the UCC is located. And I was at a meeting of the Historical Council, and one of the people who visited with us is Karen Georgia Thompson, the new General Minister and President of the UCC. Now, the Historical Council, according to the bylaws of the denomination, exists to respond to requests from the President. Who gave her that authority? Who gave any president of the UCC that authority? We did. Back in 1957, this congregation partook in a vote and voted to join the denomination that was being formed. And we have delegated authority to her. Now, we may not always like what the president asks us to do, and we've actually pushed back because we thought that the requests were inappropriate or out of our wheelhouse. But this week, in the meeting with Karen Georgia Thompson, she asked us something really interesting and asked us to think about something that really would not come to mind. And that is that there is a church down in Puerto Rico that was part of the United Church of Christ. And some of us have heard reference to this in the past as the Southern Conference. And that group of churches pulled out of the denomination a few years ago. Now, there is a Spanish name for this church, which was formed from a union of churches. And it formed from this union before the UCC formed. And this is leading me to the thing I want to talk about with the calendar. And I am not pointing a finger at Ernie to say he's to blame because this is my fault. But I forgot that today was World Communion Sunday. Now, you're not all responding with looks of horror. It's not like I forgot that Christmas Day is on the 25th of December, but World Communion Sunday is always on the 1st October of the month. And looking at the readings, Ernie had sent me an email saying that the hymn pickings were pretty weak for this week. And normally, I would have said, oh, well, we've got the option of World Communion Sunday because there are hymns from around the world that we can sing. I dropped the ball on that. But it's worth thinking about. We are part of a larger worldwide community of churches. And one of the neat things we learned about Karen Georgia Thompson is that she's of Jamaican extraction. And she is smart and she's sharp. And she seems to be a little bit scrappy, which is good in this role. And we're blessed to have her leading the church at this time. She doesn't look like most of us. Now, the UCC has always had men as president. And now we've got a woman. She's also black. And she is articulate. And she is filled with faith. And again, I said she's scrappy. She is going to work to call us to do what we need to do. So we were talking about this church in Puerto Rico, which has pulled out of the UCC, but she wants to maintain ties with them. And that's an appropriate thing to want to do, because we as Christians are called to love one another. And I know we don't always do a good job of that. And that was one of the complaints of one of the early church fathers, St. John Chrysostom, who once said with a real heavy dose of sarcasm, oh, look at those Christians, how they love one another. We do a pretty good job of beating up on one another. Why? I may not like someone else's viewpoints. I may not agree with them. But they're our fellow men and women. They're our brothers and sisters. And that brings us back to this question of today's scripture readings. Moses is once again faced with complaining from the Israelites. Where's the water? And Moses turns to God and says, these people are complaining. What do you want me to do? And God tells him what to do. And Moses heeds the call. Then we have the lesson from Matthew. And Jesus was teaching in the temple. And Jesus had shown up in the temple and had caused a bit of a stir. Remember, he overturned the tables. And a lot of the religious authorities did not like that. And the money tables were essentially bank stations. So why did anybody care about that? I would not be happy if we had an ATM in the church here. But people lose sight of what's important. And so Jesus was asked, by what authority are you teaching? Now, it would make my job a lot easier if Jesus answered the question by saying, I was delegated this authority by X, or I've earned it from Y. Instead, Jesus pushes the question back on his questioners. Who do you think it came from? I'm not waiting for an answer from you all, but think about that question. Who do you think gave Jesus that authority? And by extension, that's something you can ask of a preacher. By whose authority am I up here talking at you, talking to you each week? Now, in our denomination, we believe that a minister is called by the congregation he's serving and also by the wider church. And I participated in a liturgy that has very ancient roots, the laying on of the hands, back in my old church in Concord, Massachusetts. And that was back in 2010. And then you called me to be the pastor here. But that still goes back to the question, who has called Jesus to preach and to teach? We believe that Jesus was called by God. We, of course, believe that Jesus was God. But imagine the reception that Jesus would have gotten if he'd said that. They'd had the evidence of John before them, and they ignored it. And Jesus knew that. And he knew how he'd be received. And frankly, Jesus knew how the story was going to end. On a cross, outside of the city. And we know how the story ended, or that chapter ended. But the story continued to be written. And we remember that Good Friday was always followed by Easter. And the God we pray to is the God who provided the Israelites with bread in the desert and then provided them with water. The God who never leaves. The God who's always with us. Now, this may sound like a fairy tale. And there are people out there who will say that we're talking to our friend in the sky derisively. But God is our friend in the sky. God is our friend here. God is with us all of the time. And there may be moments when we would like God to maybe take a few steps back because we're doing something we shouldn't do. But God is not going to let us go. And you look at the history of the Israelites throughout the Hebrew Bible, and you see all the things they did, and God never abandoned them. Then you look at the things we Christians have done for the last 2,000 years. And we've done a lot of stuff to really tick off God. And that was church language. But God has not abandoned us. But God has called each and every one of us to do the work of the church, to do the work of caring for our communities and one another And yes, caring for the water creation. You've heard it said that we are God's hands and feet on this earth. Perhaps that's a little trite, but sometimes trite things are true. So I'm not particularly fond of the way the government's functioning in Washington these days. I'd like the Congress to get in the clown car and drive away, but they decided to stay out of the clown car this morning. The Senate passed a bill, and the government is now funded through the middle of the month. Actually, the middle of November. But responding to crises is not what God is calling us to do. We're smart enough to work to avoid the crises, to plan for the future. We can argue with one another. We can disagree with one another. But we can find solutions. And that's true of the church as much as it is of our wider society. So we're very fortunate this week that Stacy Steele is downstairs working with the kids in the Children's Community Corner. But we're still in a transition period. And I'm going to send out a message this week inviting people to a conversation about the future of our children's ministry. And if you get an email from me about this, please read it. Please do not think, oh, it's more spam from the church, because we want you to be part of this discussion. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's going to be invited. No, because if we had a full meeting, we'd have a lot of people talking at one another, and we'd arrive at no solutions. But that doesn't mean that your opinion's not important, and that your ideas don't have merit. You can share them with me. You can share them with Barb, the moderator. You can share them with John Scott, the chair of our council, or Linda Gerlach, the chair of our diaconate. But one thing I don't want to hear about was, well, when I was a kid back in the 50s or 60s, we had this huge children's ministry. That world is dead and gone. It is no more. We do not live in that world. There are many reasons I'd love to live in that world, and there are many reasons I would not love to live in that world. But God is calling us to live in the here and now. Right now, 2023. So if you've got ideas about what would motivate children, we'd like to hear them. But as a parent, I can tell you that there's a reason kids tend to look at us and roll their eyes. I try not to tell dad jokes, but I do. What I thought was cool when I was a kid is not cool now. And thankfully, my son does not tell me that it's not cool now. And he doesn't tell me it wasn't cool back then. But there is an ability of us to look back to our youth and to remember some things that were fun and entertaining, and I hesitate to say this, but educational, that would appeal to young people today. This is where the authority is being delegated. We're in a congregational church, and we believe in our polity, and that's it. All of you are in charge of things. So if you don't like the way things are going, guess what? You have no one to point the finger at but yourself. Get involved. Raise your hand. Speak up. But don't complain. There are very few things I'm going to say with a very high level of certitude. But this is one instance where God is not going to solve our problems for us. Not going to happen. The universe is a really big place. And God's got a lot of stuff to do. And doing our jobs for us is not one of them. So please accept the call to service. Remember Moses? Imagine what it was like to ride herd over the Israelites for 40 years. I cannot imagine. Moses' fate was what he'd envisioned as a young man. Oh, great, I'm going to be leading a bunch of ex-slaves to a new country, which I won't get to go into. But Moses did what God called him to do. And think about Jesus. The smart, talented, charismatic young man who wound up laying it all out on the field for you and for me. And we know what happened to Jesus. He died on a cross. But Jesus died so that we might have new life. And that new life is expressed in the community we enjoy today, in the friends we have in the church, in the new ones we make, and the possibilities before us. So I encourage you to join me in giving God thanks for the opportunities he's presented to us, for the authority that he has delegated to us. And along with that responsibility, along with that are the responsibilities that we have. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gifts before us. We thank you for the opportunity to continue to build our church and to share its love in the wider community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.